Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Tom. And on this episode of Flash in the Pan, we're turning Japanese. I think we're turning Japanese. I really think so. We grew up in a world of online animation. And we're digging you out for your consideration. Bringing you the tunes that made us who we are. Flash in the Pan. Flash in the Pan. Hi, and welcome to another glitzy edition of Flash in the Pan.
Ooh, welcome back.
Ooh, indeed. Ooh. This is the podcast where we take you by the hand, gently, and guide you down a beautifully ornate corridor with chandeliers and wallpaper decorated with your favorite characters and scenes from old-timey Flash animations.
Wow. That would be something. If someone actually did that,
yeah,
that would be incredible.
Toward the bathroom.
It's the toilet.
I'm Tom. This is Alex.
I'm Alex.
I'm really ill, but...
I'm recovering.
Yeah, so...
I've been sick. Tom is sick.
I think I caught it from you, so
I'm
thanks.
Sorry.
You should be.
I'm very sorry.
So if our energy levels are not super, then that's why. We are dying.
Yes, we...
Just a little bit.
Just very slowly.
And what better time to check out some old cartoons?
Yeah, why not?
Hooray!
Hooray!
As always, you can find the cartoons we're going to talk about on our website at flashinthepancast.com, where you'll also find links to all of our previous episodes, etc., etc., etc. I think we should start with a wonderful and surprisingly popular cartoon from back in 2004, the inimitable Final Fantasy A+.
Ooh.
Here we go. And we're back.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I can see why that was so popular.
Yeah? So you'd never seen this?
No, I think I'd seen it before. It seemed familiar.
Yeah.
So I probably saw it like once a long time ago.
Yeah, that's fair. That's
probably fair. Understood it less.
Yeah, so the background of this is, before we get into the Flash hour later, but yeah. The background of this is that this Flash cartoon was made for the creator's high school Japanese final at high school.
Oh, right, okay.
His high school final at high school, yes.
Yes.
Spoiler alert, he passed with flying colors, he got an A+,
mm-hmm.
Which is what you'd hope.
Yes.
Because he made a whole Flash cartoon to demonstrate his knowledge of intermediate Japanese.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So, do you want to go over the plot?
The plot seems to be that it takes place inside of a Final Fantasy game.
Kinda, yeah.
I think. And then, like, you have basically, like, what's the archetypal, like, warrior, black and white mage.
Yeah.
Except they're all in high school.
Yeah, yeah. You've got Pensuke the warrior, yeah. Atticus the black mage, and Cid the white mage. I like how the white mage, just so you know that the white mage does, like, healing magic, is also wearing, like, a surgical mask and a little doctor's mirror.
Yeah.
That's quite sweet.
The teacher is locking people up so he can buy the land owned by the school, because if there are no students, then...
Then the school is empty, and so there'll be no one to stop him from buying the land the school is on.
Yes.
Perfect.
What? Foolproof plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Using the power of studying and being good students, they eventually defeat all the challenges and they beat the evil teacher, and then the principal shows up and he's like, aha, thank you for saving the school, I'm gonna fire this guy.
I like how Bahamut's weakness was a multiple choice.
Oh yeah, that, yeah. Yeah, so all of the academic challenges are represented by Final Fantasy style fights.
Yeah.
Specifically, like, old school Final Fantasy, like Final Fantasy 1 to 6.
Yeah.
And it's very cute.
Mm.
And, so, like, all of the text in this is rendered in Japanese as well, which I think is quite cute. Everything's subtitled and everything, so, like, it's very easy to understand.
Mm.
I don't know much Japanese, but it doesn't sound, but given that it got a good grade when it was made, it seems like the actual dialogue is pretty accurate, and the pronunciation seems pretty good, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it seemed fairly accurate from what I could gather with my very, very basic understanding of the language.
Yeah, as an anime fan.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Basically, it's like, oh, I recognize that phrase from anime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Takeshi Kitano said this in a film a while ago, and I remember that.
Yeah.
So one of the things about this that stuck out to me the most in terms of my memory, because I remember when this came out and it was huge and like everybody watched it at least a couple of times, and on Newgrounds this has 4.5 million views.
That's a lot,
which is colossal. That's... for a Flash cartoon made in like 2004.
Yeah,
and it's just wild. But the one I remember most is just right at the beginning where the black mage Atticus is napping by a tree, and the warrior is like, "Atticus, Atticus." For some reason, just the way he says that lodged in my brain.
Huh.
I don't know why.
That's... I couldn't tell you, I'm afraid. I don't know.
Yeah. But it's fun. It's cute. The animation is... like, it's fairly basic, but like, it's got some charm, it's got personality. Yeah. It's very anime.
Yes.
We've got some proper like anime faces and anime hijinks and little super deformed reactions and that kind of thing.
Uh-huh, yeah.
All the music is from Final Fantasy V and Final Fantasy Tactics. It's interesting that it's Final Fantasy V because that, for a long time, was Japanese exclusive. Maybe that was deliberate.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Although I do prefer a lot of the music from 4, but that's just me.
Well, I'm sure you can write an email and see if you can get a special edit made.
I doubt it.
I'm not sure what else, like...
I can see why it was so popular.
Okay.
Definitely. Because, like, it's just an anime about Final Fantasy that was free to watch on Newgrounds.
Yeah.
Like, that has appeal outside of the general, ooh, we think Flash animations are cool spectrum. Like,
yeah.
That has, like, nearly universal appeal among people like Final Fantasy, people like video games, people who like anime, which was...
And also high school.
And also people... high schoolers.
Yeah, like, this is the sweet spot of what if video games were like real life, or what if real life was like video games.
Yeah.
Which was the cornerstone of just culture.
So much. So much stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that Penske's sword is just a big pencil.
That's good. It reminds me of this story I saw recently where this girl was like, I've got one of these giant novelty pencils, and she used to carry it around with her in the very, very unlikely situation that someone would ask her for a pencil. So she would just pull out this giant pencil and go, "Here you go."
Did she use it to slay any pop quiz goblins?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
That's just a very funny mental image.
It is. That's very great.
But yeah, no, it's very good.
It is, yeah. It's very gentle. It's like it's very gentle humor. It's very just like good natured.
Yeah.
It's quite sweet. There are a couple of moments that it's Final Fantasy, so there's a Moogle.
Yes.
Who's one of their classmates who fails.
Yeah.
And is defeated and then just locked in a cage.
And with all the other students, apparently.
Yeah, apparently with all the other students. Yeah. And they're like, no, we have to avenge him.
Yes.
By taking down Ryu Sensei, who's the teacher.
Yes.
Who reminds me a bit, just appearance-wise, of the teacher from Azumanga Daioh.
Yeah.
The principal from Azumanga Daioh.
Yeah, I think I kind of see what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, but also a bit of the dad from Shin-chan.
Oh, massively.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely more the second one.
Okay, fine. what else? Oh yeah, also the chocobos show up, including a fat chocobo.
Fat chocobo's the best.
So the fat chocobo appears in like a, 10 minutes later thing earlier in the in the cartoon, but then shows up later as just like a really fat chocobo with a school backpack.
Yeah,
is used as a weapon to defeat one of the evil quizzes.
Yes,
which is it's just kind of cute.
Yeah,
and this is after the black mage Atticus uses a spell, because basically all of his spells are like biology and maths, and then he uses like chocobo study group.
Yeah,
anyway, it's a chocobo cram school.
Yeah,
that's right,
chocobo's cram school.
And so the enemy is buried under these adorable birds, and when it cuts back to them, they're all like reading books and so on while piled on top of him, and it's very sweet.
It's just chocobo's great.
Chocobos are very, very
fat. Chocobo's the best.
Fat chocobo is like I aspire to be.
I love fat chocobo.
I want to be fat chocobo.
The best part of Final Fantasy XIV was getting a fat, well, being able to get a fat chocobo mount.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're a chocobo, please write in.
Yep, definitely.
We will try and translate.
Quoi.
Yeah. And then at the end, Penske, the weakest student, makes a noble sacrifice to save his friends by basically just brute forcing a multiple choice question.
Yeah, that's one way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did he really learn? It's unclear. He does recognize that the pop quiz is using the same attacks, quote unquote, as the homework. So clearly he's learning something.
Yes. Well, I mean, at the end, he's got the grade of Final Fantasy A+. So.
Yes. Final Fighter A+.
Final Fighter A+, yeah.
Yeah. The ending when the principal shows up is... It reminded me a lot of Harry Potter.
Well, yeah, where Dumbledore just shows up at the end and he's like, good job.
Yeah. 500 points to Gryffindor. Never mind the terrible destruction and death you've caused.
Yeah.
You're my favourite students. You know?
Yep. Yeah, it's exactly like that. Yeah.
Is there anything I've missed? Is there anything left? It's just nice. It's just sweet.
Also, I want to mention the Finn becoming Finn-all Fantasy A+ at the end.
That was very that was very fun. So it was all voiced and created by the same person, and we can learn a bit more about this person if we go to a flash. So this was made by someone who going by the name of Mouse Clicks, real name John Sue.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of only three flash animations that he made on Newgrounds between 04 and 06, but each one was pretty dang popular.
Uh-huh.
He also made a really good Flash game called Balloon Duel, which I remember playing the hell out of back in the day.
That rings a bell.
Which is basically a customizable anime-styled Nintendo balloon fight. So yeah, we might cover that in a future episode next time we look at some games, because it's great. Don't know much about his background apart from being in the US and doing Japanese class and working on a lot of animation stuff, at least in the mid-2000s.
Mm-hmm.
But happily, this is one of those animators who is still very prolific.
Okay.
Not necessarily with animation, but with art.
Ooh.
And he still has an active DeviantArt account, and he is on Tumblr. He draws mostly cool anime-inspired things with lots of bright colours and, like, neat creatures and, like, cat people and video gamey fantasy stuff.
That's cool.
And, yeah, and he's got a Twitter, he's like, DeviantArt and all that kind of stuff. And, yeah, it's just a lot of really neat content.
Cool.
And he's still active. He seems like he's doing well for himself.
That's good.
Yeah, a short flash R, but
it's always nice when people are still making stuff.
It is. It really is. And yeah, John Su, keep up the good work, and thank you for the Final Fantasy A+ things.
Yeah.
In the comments for the actual upload, he has a little FAQ and he mentions that he can't teach you Japanese because he was a student, not a teacher of Japanese.
Yes.
And he says that the project itself, making this whole cartoon, took about 3 weeks.
That's a fairly short amount of time.
Full on.
That's a fairly short amount of time, even so.
And that he couldn't actually finish it by the end of the semester, so he had to get a short deadline extension.
Oh, okay.
But fair enough, honestly, because this is really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the background info. We have some comments, if you would like a comment or two.
Oh, go on then.
Go on then, okay. We're going to start with Tetris Clock, who gave it 5 out of 5 and commented literally like an hour ago.
Oh my god.
Like, as we're recording. So, like, February 22nd, 2019.
Good lord.
Tetris Clock commented, still awesome after all these years.
Yes. Correct.
That is correct.
That is correct. let's see. Slain Death. April 23rd, 2004. Oh, the day this came out.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I thought it was funny how a lot of the things were replaced with school stuff. The animation and drawings were really nice, and I loved how the black mage had a human face. Switched between the yellow and blackness. Okay. Lol, this was cool and funny. Good work. Make more. Smiley face.
Anime smiley
anime
face.
Anime smiley face, of course.
Which, yeah. Carrot underscore carrot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what they mean is how Atticus sometimes would have, like, his face in shadow and the glowy yellow eyes.
Oh, I see.
Like the classic black mage look.
Yeah, okay, I see. I get you.
Captain Snugglebugs.
Oh!
May 6th, 2006 was less kind.
Oh, dear.
So this was a couple of years after this came out. Captain Snugglebugs said, "Not funny, I never laughed once. It was like it was trying to be funny. I was joking with my friend once about if daily life was like Final Fantasy, and then he told me about this and said it was hilarious, so I watched it, and halfway through I just wanted to stop it, but I didn't, in hopes it might get funny later. It never did. The only reason it got a 3 overall rating is because of good graphics and its nice voices." And and it was given 3 out of 10, or 1.5 out of 5.
Oh.
I think we mentioned that it's quite a gentle cartoon in terms of humor and action. You know,
it's not like laugh out loud funny, but
no, it's charming.
It's just nice.
Yeah, it's just nice. And for, I guess for some people, like Captain Snugglebugs, just nice is unfulfilling.
Well, there are plenty of violent stick cartoons, aren't there?
Yeah, go back to your Joe Zombie, Captain Snugglebugs. Gotcha.
Obviously too sophisticated for him.
Baku-san.
Baku-san. Days came out, said, OMG, like, 0 underscore 0.
So like,
like a surprised face.
Whoa.
OMG, that was great. I loved the thing about that they are speaking Japanese. OMG, make more. I love it.
I also love it.
Japanese.
Japanish,
yeah. Japanish. It's not Japanish, it's Japanese. It's not ish anything, it is Japanese.
And finally, I picked this because it's an absolute classic.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Plur in 2005 said, "Awesome, I love this movie."
Uh-huh.
And then gave it 2.5 out of 5.
They're just too excited.
It never gets old. So yeah, that was Final Fantasy A+, which is just lovely.
Yeah.
It is a delight.
It's good.
And speaking of delights, we have a Flash cartoon coming up, which was requested way back after episode number 1.
Oh my goodness.
By Scott.
Yeah.
Who wrote in and recommended that we watch and cover the video Duck and Cover. So let's do that. Let's watch Duck and Cover.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? Like, yeah. Let's make it happen.
We have to cover up in our own way. First, you duck, and then you cover. And very tightly, you cover the back of your neck and your face.
Well, I feel suitably safer than I was 5 minutes ago. You're shaking your head.
There's no way that'll any of that's gonna protect you from the fucking A-bomb.
Well, no, not at all. So the audio for this is taken from an actual 50s informational school for school children.
Hmm.
It's absolute horseshit.
Yes.
But it's also, you know, the 50s nuclear paranoia.
Yeah.
That's all they could think to do to comfort children who might be obliterated in a nuclear holocaust. And the original cartoon of it, you can find it online. It's got an endearing turtle.
Yeah.
Although in this, it's not a turtle. It's Mr. Saturn from Earthbound, who in the opening moments murders a Koopa and steals his shell.
I didn't know that Koopa shells were impervious to atomic blasts. So,
apparently.
That says something about the strength of Mario's shoes.
Well, he jumps on their heads, not their shells.
That's true. Yeah, you know what? When you think about it, have you ever seen a Koopa shell get destroyed? That's all that's left. generally speaking, that's usually what gets left behind.
Is the shell.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of things getting left behind, there is so much just child violence and, and death in this.
Like, even when the bomb's not going off, they're finding ways to kill people. Like, somebody has a frisbee, like, sheer off the top of their head.
Yep.
Like,
it's because badly animated violence against children is always funny. That's one of the tenets of Newgrounds.com.
That's true, yeah, yeah.
You know, especially way, way back in the mists of 2002.
Yes, that was definitely...
Which is when this was made.
Yeah.
Actually, no, it wasn't, because it was originally made in November 2001.
Ah.
So maybe in the aftermath of the 9/11 attacks, I don't know. When public safety was a much greater concern, people were looking back to the mists of paranoid... child protection.
I mean that makes some kind of morbid sense. Yes.
Yeah. Morbid is a good way to describe the cartoon.
Yeah.
So it's all done with Earthbound sprites and so on.
Yeah.
Which are cute and endearing, mm-hmm. and also again just funny to watch, say, fall catastrophically off a bicycle. Oh, did you have any favourite moments?
Cover the back of your neck with your face. Like, what? That doesn't make any... That's not physically possible.
See, I thought... Because I don't think I ever saw this back in the day. But I thought originally going in that, okay, they've probably, like, chopped and screwed the audio to make it sound sillier or stranger. Yeah. No. This is basically what the original information film says.
That's not helpful.
Like, I thought they were going to do like a negative land kind of thing. You know? There are lots of little like background jokes and so on. Like there's a bit where the Mr. Saturn Bert.
Yes.
Is demonstrating. He's got like a blackboard with information on it about the nuclear blast, and there's one caption that just says airborne chunks of torso.
Yeah. Another one just says death. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and like it's absolutely morbid though.
Yeah.
Like just that this was the information given to families about the possible threat of nuclear war.
Yep.
You know, like, oh, just curl in a ball, get under a table or something.
It'll be fine.
Stay away from the windows. They might shatter and a piece of glass may fly through the air and cut you. Because yes. That's what you're concerned about.
Definitely what the worst of your problems.
Well, I don't have any hair or teeth anymore because of the gamma radiation, but at least I don't have any paper cuts. It's just mad.
Yeah.
But that's the 50s Americana for you.
Yeah. Absolutely lost it at some point.
Also, right at the beginning, there's that giant A-bomb contraption with Hello Kitty's face on it.
Oh, yeah.
And written on the side, I don't know if you caught it, it says, Das Boomski.
I didn't see that, no.
Because Russia?
Yes.
No, yeah, like, but, like, I mean, like, this is tried and true topic for satire.
Yeah.
You know, like, this was covered by everyone from MST3K to, like, Back to the Future, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When Marty goes back to his class in the 50s and they learn about, like, you know, and there's, oh no, there's nuclear paranoia. They've got Sputnik up there.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah. But, so the animation itself, what do we think?
The animation of the characters itself is very rudimentary sprite animation.
Very rudimentary sprite animation,
And anything that's not sprite animated is, I think, just tweened.
It's just a bit janky.
It
kind of works.
It does work for, you know, if you imagine it was put together by some, like, beleaguered person that was tasked with the goal of making, you know, an informational video of what if we all blow up. You know, like...
Yes.
Like, you wouldn't give two shits. You would just slap it together.
It's... Yeah, I do like how, you know, it's all in black and white, and they've got the tracking lines to show that, like, it's like an old worn out piece of film.
They are just lines.
They are just lines.
Yeah,
yes.
They don't move.
it's fun. It's silly. It's exactly the kind of thing that, like, a morbid teen would find amusing.
Definitely. Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know if there's much more to say about Duck and Cover.
I think we covered. That was not intentional. I think we've been over it.
Okay, so there's going to be a very, very brief flash. Because the creator of this delightful film is... Neutrino.
Oh, yeah.
Neutrino, who is one of the least easy to find information about people who was involved in the Orphan House shorts that we covered way back when.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So it's hard to find that much about Neutrino, but this was one of their more popular cartoons. Clearly, it stuck in at least a couple of people's memories because it was one of the first things that we had suggested to us.
Yeah.
And it's fun. You can see why it was popular way back when, and it definitely fits in with just the style of the time, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
like, there's... I don't have any more information. I'm sorry.
That's it. It's D.L. Neutrino. He was involved in Orphan House. We don't know anything else. He did some Orphan House stuff. Like, in order to actually find any information about him, we'd have to, like, track them down or someone that knows them.
Yeah. Neutrino, if you're listening, please write in.
Please.
Yeah.
Are you?
But what we do have is some comments.
Yeah.
Hooray. So we're going to start with someone who I believe is just our friend now.
Yeah.
Just from overexposure.
I think he advertised, like, I've checked on this guy's profile. He advertises himself as, like, the most prolific reviewer on Newgrounds, which...
You know what? Fair enough.
I think they definitely are.
Yeah. Maybe someday we'll get, like, a proper published collected works of Ericho. Because here it is, Ericho or Ericho. I still don't know which one of it is.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be Ericho. That's okay. How I read it. Anyway.
Okay. So Ericho, in September 4th, 2010, gave it 5 out of 5 and said, "Where's the love? This is a classic Flash cartoon clip on the entire internet. Oh well. I am least glad you managed to get some recognition by being a co-worker on the Orphan House series.
Yeah.
I think this was the first thing I ever saw that introduced me to the Earthbound series."
Oh, yeah, because it wasn't that well... I mean, it wasn't advertised.
2002, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
There are just so many funny things going on. You have to mock these people. I think the funniest might be the part where they are throwing the frisbee around, it suddenly severs that one kid's head. There are so many funny things going on in the background, like Gumby floating. Did you catch Gumby?
No.
Gumby was there at one point.
Okay.
Just in the background, just floating in the air.
Gumby's there. This is definitely made by someone from Orphan House.
Hi, Gumby.
Hi, Gumby.
So, you want to take the next one?
Yeah. Roger Ace, April 6th, 2010. Why are these reviews all so, like, long after the...
I guess they're rediscovering them.
I guess so. So, funny. Real funny with the school bus, but make it go over a cliff. That's funnier. I mean... They've already been vaporized by an atom bomb. What do you want? I suppose it would make sense if the bus driver's also been vaporized, if it continued... There aren't that many cliffs in rural America, are there? Are there? Like,
you know what? Like, I'm just thinking we should get this in Fallout 5.
If we ever get Fallout 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moving on swiftly.
Phase 01 in 2002, just after this came out, said, "That was tripping me out. Hey man, that seriously tripped me out. This sends Dot Matrix to another level."
What?
3.5 out of 5.
What? What does that mean?
I don't know, but I'm going to start saying that to catch your conversation.
That sends Dot Matrix to another level. Yeah, yeah. Like, Tom, are you okay?
It's like, oh, hey, did you see that Captain Marvel film? Oh, yeah, that sent Dot Matrix to another level. this Parmesan. This Parmesan is really good. It sends Dot Matrix to another level.
Okay.
And finally we have...
Good for Nothing, spelled with an E. July 3rd, 2002. You thief!
You stole fizzy-listing things!
You stole graphics from Zelda and Mario and used them to make a really bad movie. I feel sorry for you wasting good stuff on crap.
Zero out of five.
Obviously didn't watch Arkham House.
You thief!
You thief!
You thiefy thief!
I can't believe you stole from Zelda and Mario. How dare you?
Look, some people, no matter what the setting or the context, will never be comfortable with remix culture.
Well, at least
or like plunderphonics or sampling, you know?
It says shill for Nintendo. I'm telling you.
Oh, are you saying that Good for Nothing is like Bill Trinan's old account?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm willing to believe that.
Nintendo won't stand for...
But yeah, so that was Duck and Cover.
That was Duck and Cover.
It's short, it's silly, it's morbid, it's very, very much of its time. Mm. And I don't know that there's much else to say about it.
No.
But I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did.
Yeah, it was fun.
So I think we have time for one more.
I think we do.
And that one more is one that we have had people clamoring for.
Yeah.
Like, at least 5 different people have gotten in touch with me personally and on emails to say, hey, you should talk about this. So we're going to talk about this.
Okay.
We're going to talk about the first episode of a beloved late 2000s series.
Yeah.
Because here comes Dr. Tran.
Here comes Dr. Tran.
Where's that coming from?
This summer, everyone's favorite action hero returns.
What?
Wow, that takes me back.
Yeah, Yeah, like I said, I didn't remember what this was until I watched it again.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's this. I remember this.
So what came flooding back for you?
I remember just the overall premise of a small child, like...
whose life is interrupted by a movie narrator.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I forgot how long this was.
Yeah.
It's a very long sketch.
It goes on.
Yeah, and sometimes it feels a bit too long.
Hmm.
But also, there are a lot of genuinely good jokes in here.
Yes, there are.
And... It feels like they are throwing a lot of stuff in there, there are so many different kinds of like ridiculous over the top premises in this that it sort of just like keeps like, okay, what about this? What about this? What about this?
Yeah.
What about this?
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it really works.
Yeah, sometimes
like, there are some jokes that just don't land at all. And there are a couple that just feel kind of outdated.
Yeah.
But overall, like we were both laughing.
Yes.
Yeah. I'd also forgotten that there were live action segments in this.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I remembered, like I said, I remember the premise, but not much else.
Yeah, so what is the premise?
The premise is that there is a 5-year-old, like...
Southeast Asian child?
Yeah, Southeast Asian child who was just quietly trying to have breakfast, and then suddenly this movie announcer is just claiming that the boy is a doctor,
that he's
an action hero,
that he is a grown American.
He's American, and he's like, I've never been to America.
And the boy's reactions get increasingly loud and screamy.
Yeah.
And semi-coherent. I think that some of the reaction dialogue is some of the weakest parts of it.
Yeah.
Because it does kind of stray into just, like, okay, kind of, like, loud Asian, like, stereotype kind of thing. Just in terms of, like, the broken English and...
Yeah, that part's, like, you know?
A bit, yeah. Yeah,
it's a bit... Yeah.
Which is a shame, because when it's good...
Very good, yeah.
It's really good. I'm not a doctor, and then the announcer is like, yes, he is. He will save the day, I promise.
The 30,000 movie box set, including Oh Shit, It's Dr. Tran.
1, 2, 3, Dr. Tran.
Q is
for Dr. Tran. I wrote that one down, yeah, because that's really good. Also, I don't know if you caught it, but Dr. Tran is described as, quote, a real doctor.
Yeah.
A dashing special agent with a PhD in kicking your ass.
Yes. Yes, I did.
It reminds me of the Scott Pilgrim joke with Lucas Lee in the film Action Doctor.
Yeah.
Which had the tagline on the poster, the good news is you are going to live. The bad news is he is going to kill you.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. It's definitely a more professional work than we usually cover on this, in that it was made by a studio.
An actual, like, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, it's got a cast of real characters, of real people.
Yeah.
There's some fun Photoshop work going on, like the shot of the movie theater with Dr. Tran on the marquee.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And, of course, we can't not mention the fact that it is also, like, surprisingly graphic.
Yeah.
Like, we get, like, I don't know if they're alien women, because they're, like, blue and pink, but we definitely get flash-animated boobs.
They've got the baps out.
They've got baps well and truly out.
They're just out.
Yeah.
Just, like, not even...
Oh, just on a movie poster,
they're just out.
Yeah. Also, we're told that he eats hickory-smoked horse buttholes...
From a cup. Yeah.
And that he is down... to give people... do you want to say it, or shall I? Or should we do it together?
You do it. Go on. I can't do it with a straight
face. Hot dickings.
He's just giving them out.
He'll be at your local record store from 4 till 9. Yeah, it's... it's like moments like that where it just goes just beyond, you know, like it becomes so hyperbolic but also quite specific that I think it works the best.
Yes, definitely.
And like you can see why this was, because I remember back in like 08, like this was a thing.
Yeah, it was,
you
a
know,
thing.
Like everyone was linking each other to this.
Yeah.
And you know, 2008, that's still fairly early YouTube days.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, YouTube started, like, 2006.
Yeah, 2005 to 2006 is the...
Yeah.
Is the early days. So 2008 is about when it was starting to properly pick up momentum and so on.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I also like... So we got the live-action segments as well with, like, you know, like, the audience testimony about how great Dr. Tran is.
Yeah.
Which... What?
Sorry, go on.
No, you go.
I just remember the people saying, like, he's some real shit.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's, like, a properly, like, you know, a good diverse cross-section of the American public.
Yes.
Really enjoy the antics of Dr. Tran.
Yes.
There's also just one, like, Asian guy against a wall. Oops.
He's Microsoft Sam. Sorry.
Yeah, who has a Microsoft Sam voice. And he says that he is an actual Asian male. And he talks about, well, first he says that he likes Dr. Tran.
Yeah.
And then he starts reciting the Star Spangled Banner while groping his own nipples. And then later he's saying the Lord's Prayer while slowly lifting his shirt.
Yeah, lifting his shirt up, exposes his nipples, and then, like, he pokes one and then licks his finger and runs away.
Yes.
Like, it's bizarre. It's like, it's weird and absurd, but it's also coherent.
Yeah. And, like, what would you compare it to in terms of, say, like, comedy, other comedy stuff that was around at the time? Because for me, it gives me, like, Wonder Showzen vibes.
Yeah, It's definitely got, like, an absurdist edge.
Oh, yeah.
But it's, like, firmly grounded in something quite familiar.
Yeah.
And I know we've come back to it, like, quite a lot, but, like, it does kind of remind me of Monty Python. This kind of seems like something that, like, they might have done, maybe.
A bit, yeah. Yeah. I mean, with Monty Python, they definitely had a lot of, like, fake film trailers and fake film stuff. Though that was, but again, that was usually just because the premise of the film that was being made was stupid.
Yeah.
For instance, like The Bishop.
Oh God!
you know, or the film about Scott of the Antarctic, where the leading man is like standing on three boxes, so he looks really tall, and the leading lady is in a trench next to him. Like,
yeah.
that kind of thing. Like that's more Monty Python style.
This is
I think this is a bit more like a bit more cynical postmodern, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Like this child's life is being turned into this huge media juggernaut, you know? Dr. Tran is described as America's number one commodity. He is shown wearing a barcode and a cowboy hat.
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
So you could say that there is some kind of subversive potential here about just the way that being mediatized like that kind of makes you into a product.
Yeah, there's a little bit of commentary in there, huh?
Well, I mean, which is unsettlingly prescient for an early YouTube short.
Yeah.
But, it's just really fun, I think.
Yeah.
And, I understand that you... Oh, before we continue, right?
Yeah.
And I really want to know if this is true.
Okay.
Because I only did a bit of looking.
Go on.
In the credits, it does say that one of the live-action people is Tessa Thompson.
Yeah.
I really hope it's the real Tessa Thompson. From Thor Ragnarok and stuff. And sorry to bother you. If it's the real Tessa Thompson, like, it's hard to tell because you only see her briefly.
But it could be her.
If it's the real Tessa Thompson, I would like to know that because that would just make me respect her even more.
Yeah.
Because, like, wow. You know?
Yeah. It's, yeah.
He's like, wow, you collaborated with Janelle Monáe and Dr. Tran?
It's like, it's so good, and it's like, so, like, kind of disappointing at the same time. Like, again, we kind of touched on it, like, yeah, like, the voice of the kid is probably done by, like, a white American guy.
Yeah.
And, like, also, there's just, like, the random, like, haha, transsexual joke.
Oh, yeah.
I get it, yeah, trans, like, yeah, it's an easy joke, but, like, what?
I don't know. I think just the words is meant to be funny.
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't upset me that much. It's just, like, really?
Yeah, it feels...
Really?
It feels... Okay, it doesn't feel out of place, because tonally, like, this is solidly, like, late 2000s, like, boundary-pushing comedy kind of thing. You know, like, lest we forget the solid minute and a half of Hot Dickings.
Yeah. Yes. Although, having said that, every morning when I wake up, I say Trantastic to myself. So. Shall we do some...
And then you kiss your signed poster of Dr. Tran and begin the day.
Something like that, yeah. So shall we segue seamlessly into another Flash?
Ah.
Here comes Dr. Tran.
Here comes Dr. Tran.
It is a Lone Sausage production.
Can I just say, I love that name for a production.
It's great.
Just like the logo with the slowly rotating plate with a single sad Lone Sausage.
Yeah, so Lone Sausage is an indie animation company which was founded in 1998.
Whoa!
Breen Burns and Jason Johnson. So Dr. Tran eventually became, as you mentioned, a miniseries which actually aired on G4's Late Night Peep Show, which was previously titled Happy Tree Friends and Friends, which we actually covered before with something else that ended up on there.
On G4, yeah. We haven't done Happy Tree Friends yet.
Yet.
We will, don't worry.
The shorts are now distributed around the web in association with Mondo Mini Shows,
yes,
which is owned by Mondo Media, who also own Happy Tree Friends.
Yes.
Get into a little bit outside of like the world of TV and the internet. So Dr. Tran is apparently frequently shown at San Diego Comic-Con, Sundance Film Festival, Annecy Animation Festival, and Spike and Mike's Twisted Festival of Animation, which also hosted other animators such as, brace yourself, Don Hertzfeldt,
yep,
Mike Judge, Nick Park, Andrew Stanton, J.G. Quintel, and Tenacious D.
Yeah, like Spike and Mike's is like an institution in terms of like indie cartoon stuff.
Yes. You know, Dr. Tran is in some pretty incredible company.
Yeah.
I couldn't find pretty much anything on Jason Johnson. He didn't have a Wikipedia link.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, because you mentioned J.G. Quintel, who is the guy behind Regular Show.
Yeah.
And Dr. Tran, tonally, feels very Regular Show.
It does, doesn't it?
I guarantee that Mordecai and Rigby have seen most of the films that Dr. Tran stars in.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very easy to find information about Breen Burns, who is also known for his work on Bravest Warriors and the Invader Zim TV movie.
Whoa!
Yeah. Also, there is a film in production which is starring Jim Carrey, directed by Eli Roth, and it's of a graphic novel that he co-created called Alistair Arcane, which is currently in production with Amblin Entertainment.
Bloody hell.
He co-created the graphic novel with Steve Niles, who's also known for his work on 30 Days of Night, Criminal Macabre, Simon Dark, Mystery Society, and Batman, Gotham County Line.
That's... Wow, so he's gone on to great things.
Yes.
That
film's in production now.
That is a high profile.
Yeah.
That's like one of the highest profile people we've covered, I think.
Yeah.
Like working with Jim Carrey and Eli Roth.
Yeah. I don't know if he's directly working with him.
But at least he's being adapted by.
He's being adapted by, you know, Steven Spielberg's company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. So, and that's it.
That's
pretty much all you need.
Yeah. So, do you think we'll come back to Dr. Tran in future? Like, do a sequel or two?
There is more Dr. Tran.
There is.
Why not? Let's see if it got bit less problematic. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm sure there are enough hickory smoked buttholes. To go around.
Well, there are certainly enough hot dickings.
Hey! Let's have some comments.
Yeah. Why not?
Okay. So. You want to start us off? These are all from the YouTube
these
upload.
These are from... Yes, I had to read YouTube comments.
Yeah, and you mentioned that... you only got a couple because the YouTube comment section for this is a cesspool.
Was
that your word?
It's just bad.
Yeah.
A lot of people are either just...
Quoting the thing,
or saying like, well, animation used to be so much better back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
The first comment I pulled, which is just, it just caught me immediately, because I just, John Eagle, or Eagle, 2 years ago, he said, 2:03. Heh. Boobs.
Thanks, John.
And that's all he had.
Yeah.
That's
going to have to put a brief content warning on the website about this, because boobs.
Boobs.
Yeah, that's boobs with 6 O's.
Yep.
So the next comment we have is by I'll Show You, spelt wrong.
Just completely wrong.
Yep, or I'll Show You.
Yeah.
Who said 2 years ago said, "Who's still watching this in 2010?
That doesn't make any sense.
And this...
How did you say that 2 years ago? That would have been like 2016.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I mean, none of us are still watching in 2010 because that isn't how time works. Yeah. But thanks for your input.
Yeah.
Filthy casual Kai.
Yes. Filthy casual Kai a week ago said, "I'm so glad I grew up with this instead of slime videos and Fortnite streamers."
Take that, children.
Slime videos.
Yeah.
Are they even that pop? Wait, oh no, they're massively popular, aren't they?
They are colossally popular.
Just remembered.
Yeah. Yes. Remember the thing, I think it was last year, where like big department stores were running out of PVA glue.
Yes.
And borax, because people were using it to make homemade slime.
Is that why they had that "We've got slime" sticker at the front of that shop we went
past? Oh yeah, that's exactly why. Just to reassure the children that they had slime. I mean, I have slime, because I have a cold.
And we've all got slime.
You know what?
In our bodies somewhere.
It turns out that the slime was inside us the whole time.
Yes.
Oh, I think that's beautiful.
That's beautiful.
Also beautiful?
I'm glad that, I kind of would have preferred to grow up with slime and Fortnite instead of whatever the fuck it was I did grow up with. It's like a mishmash of, like, 90s and early 2000s.
What, instead
garbage.
Of, like, S Club 7?
Yeah.
I think there's room in this world for Fortnite and S Club 7.
You know what? You're right.
And the final comment, and I think a beautiful thing to finish with, thank you for pulling this out of YouTube, because I think that, like, this just is real... This really encapsulates just, you know, the kind of internet culture and the internet, the kind of discourse that YouTube wants to promote among people. I think it's really important that comments like this are becoming, you know, they're part of the discourse. You know, they're part of the conversation. You know, the water cooler moments.
Yeah,
you know, just the when you go home at the holidays with your family and you know, like this is going to come up around the dinner table.
Yeah.
And not everyone's going to agree, but I think it's okay because as long as people like Faisal Chow are here to tell us that Dr. Tran is gay. That's all it says.
That's all it says. That's the entire comment. Dr. Tran is gay.
Thank you, Faisal Chow, for that input.
I'm not sure if it's supposed to be an insult or a suggestion.
I don't know. Maybe Faisal is claiming Dr. Tran as queer culture.
You know what? I can get behind that.
You know, like, Dr. Tran is a representation win. Get
great.
Jezebel on the phone. Oh. I've got an opinion piece that's gonna it's gonna hashtag break the internet. Turns out Dr. Tran was gay the whole time.
Oh God. And
so thanks for that.
That's that. I had to. As soon as I saw that, I was like, "Oh,
yeah." Okay. No, that's entirely fair.
Yeah.
So before we go, we've got time for a couple of your emails.
Nice.
But first of all, so you remember two whole weeks ago in our previous episode?
Yes.
We had that little quiz.
Oh. Yeah, I remember the quiz.
Yeah, so I asked people to write in with more brain-teasing trivia about the podcast to torment you with.
Yes.
And we've had a couple of submissions, but I'm going to save those for now. Because just as a follow-up to last time, HT, friend of the show HT, previous guest HT from sister show Toontown Public Works, just wrote in with a quick little extra quiz of... a few more things about some of the cartoons we've covered.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes again because he also sent the answers, and I don't want you to spoil things.
Oh, okay.
Don't worry, it's quite short.
Okay, that's fine.
So let's see if you can. So last time you got what, 6.5 out of 11?
Yes.
But then, okay, so we are. So you've only got 5 here, but I think you'll probably get them. You're a smart cookie.
I hope so.
Okay. So he says, "Hi all. HT here.
Hi, HT.
You're the ones in trivia questions, so here you go. Number one.
Okay.
Name five characters that kicked Chuck Norris's ass in the Ultimate Showdown.
Oh my god, why did my brain suddenly go blank?
There are a lot to choose from.
Batman? No.
It's the whole British accent.
Yeah, RoboCop.
Yep.
Terminator.
Yep.
Every single Power Ranger. That's it, I did it.
Well, no.
There are eight Power Rangers.
There are lots of Power Rangers.
Bill and Ted.
Yep. I mean, that's five, but if you want one more.
Spock, The Rock, Doc Ock, and Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
There you go.
Yep, you could also have had Gandalf, the grey or the white.
And Monty Python and Ollie Rails Back Night.
Benito and Mussolini, the Blue
and
Meanie.
And the Blue Meanie. And Jumbie the Genie.
Cowboy Curl. Yeah, so...
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you did it. Congratulations, okay. You got 1 point.
Yes.
What card game did the Arfenhouse creator Syphil go on to be part of creating?
Oh my god, it was that really... Ferroticon. Yes.
the erotic, furry Magic the Gathering game. Yeah. Thanks for reminding us of that, HT.
Yeah,
really appreciate
it. Thanks for that.
But that's 2 out of 2.
That's two.
I'm going to save that for last because I think it's the hardest one.
Okay.
Couple of easy ones. Who is the trademark celebrity featured in almost every animutation?
What's his fucking name? The guy from, Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yeah.
What's his fucking name? I don't know his name. I can't remember his name.
Guess.
Paul.
Not even close.
I don't remember his name.
It's Colin Mochrie.
Colin Mochrie.
So that's two
I just don't know his name.
That's 2 out of 3.
I can never remember the guy's name.
Okay. Who animated Yo, It's Christmas?
That was Scott Benson.
Congratulations. That's 3 out of 4. So you're 3. You know, there's 3 points so far.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can make it 4 out of 5.
Okay.
With the final question. In Rise of the Mushroom Kingdom.
Yes.
Who is the first to die?
Which Rise of the Mushroom Kingdom?
It just says the Rise of the Mushroom Kingdom series.
Okay, so we're right at the beginning of the first Rise of the Mushroom Kingdom.
Yes.
The first to die? Well, that would be Mario, surely.
Is that your final answer?
That's the beginning. The beginning of the first Rise of the Mushroom Kingdom... The whole setup for the reason it happens is Mario dies.
Yes. But is that the first on-screen death?
Yes.
I'm afraid that's incorrect.
What?
The first kill in Rise of the Mushroom Kingdom is a butterfly who is killed by Mario's farts.
Oh, fuck off.
But hey, 3 out of 5, that's about the same as 6.5 out of 11. So you're maintaining your track record of a solid C.
Of solid mediocrity. Good.
Hey, it's a pass.
Yeah, it's a pass.
Yeah. Hey kids, this is Flash in the Pan telling you that a C is still a pass.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, HT.
Thanks for that.
if anyone has any more trivia questions to send in, like, please do, because this is genuinely fun.
Yes, it is.
Like, about the cartoons we cover, about the episodes, about, like, random stuff that we've said that we probably don't remember.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Like, this is great, and it also helps jog our memories, because we are getting old, and our memories aren't what they used to be.
I don't know, I can speak for yourself, I'm not getting old. I am actually getting younger.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What, are you aging backwards like Merlin?
It's a strange pull considering Benjamin Button exists, but okay.
Excuse me, Merlin's been around for at least 10 years longer than Benjamin Button. I would even hazard to say at least 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
Merlin.
Just like Merlin.
Just like Merlin. And we have one final letter, email from Zachary. Zachary just writes in to say, thank you guys so much for bringing to light so many fun and carefree animations from the past, when people did it just because they wanted to make something amazing. You guys are awesome. Keep up the great work. And there's a little less than three heart.
Aw, thank you.
So thank you, Zachary. Yeah. That's really sweet of you.
That's really nice.
And I think that's a really nice note down.
That's a good sentiment to finish the thing with.
Yeah, so... Yeah. Gosh, Alex, where can people find you on the internet?
People can find me on the internet on Twitter at DEX01, on YouTube at youtube.com/VNDLP, and on Bandcamp, alexvalentine.bandcamp.com. I've got an album that's on Spotify, and if you search for Alexandra Valentine, you will find it.
And you will listen to it.
And you will listen to it by... God, I need money.
Look, she needs the fractions of a penny that you listening to her music on Spotify will do. Please, it's so cold in our house.
Yeah.
We need more gruel. And you can find me on the Twitters at Gertrude Perkins. That's Gertrude P-R-K-N-S. You can find the show's Twitter at FlashITPancast. That's FlashItPancast.
Uh-huh.
You can find our website at FlashInThePancast.com, which is where you also find our all of the tunes we talk about and all of our previous episodes, which we're, you know, there's over a year of stuff there.
Oh my goodness.
So, you know, that's going to be at least an afternoon.
Yeah, at least one afternoon.
Yeah. Of course, if you want to email in, then you can do that with any trivia stuff, but also questions, comments, letters of love, hate mail. We haven't had any good hate mail in a while.
No, we haven't.
No. You can do that to flashinthepancast@gmail.com. So until next time, I've been Tom.
I've been Alex.
And remember to cover the back of your neck with your face.
Oh, blam, this piece of crap. Flash in the pan!